This is this message probably will be the last in this series outside the box. I think it's advantageous for us to concentrate on what we've talked about already, on our efforts that we've learned so far, and take this to a new place. Amen. Take us to a new place. Those things we've talked about, I ask that they stay in the forefront of your memory and practice them daily so that together we can strive to become an outside-the-box church. We don't want to be normal. There's no fun in being normal, is there? Amen. There's no fun in that. And so far we've talked about the church proper. We've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about compassion and grace. And last week, we discussed the importance of a relationship with other people, becoming a true friend. All these things are important to just get past normalcy. That's dull. We want to do better than dull, right? Amen. Amen. Today, I want to look at the subject of worship and then wrap this up with some more comments on the church proper. But your worship today was great, folks. And it has been since we moved into this church. I've noticed just a great difference, and I appreciate that. Now turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Book of Acts, chapter 16. We're going to look at two verses, and you can keep your Bible open there because we'll come back and look at some more in just a minute. Acts 16 and verse 25 and 26. Amen. Amen. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone's bands were loosed. What is the box that we enclose ourselves with? How do we describe it? It may be built on one or many different things. Self-preservation, pride, arrogance, tradition. Tradition builds a big box. Timidity. And there are actually various things that we allow into our lives to create this special box, this thing that we contain God in. And most people, I believe, build a box that consists of past experiences. With those things that we've been through, those things we know how to act in them, we're comfortable in them, right? Amen? Today, as we look at worship, I want to start by making this statement. Many times, and I've seen this over and over again, a new Christian who has just professed Jesus as the Lord tends to show more signs of exciting outward worship than all of us established church people. Amen? What troubles me is that you would naturally expect that it would be the other way around. Are we not people who have been forgiven, been redeemed, sanctified, blessed, and many of us for a very long time? Shouldn't we have more reason to worship our Lord? But folks, something happens to us when we just sit in church. Something happens to us when we just sit in church. You see, the person who has just experienced salvation or has just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, will not hold back their worship. Well, why? Because he or she has not allowed a box to be erected in which they contain God's activities in their life. They haven't done that yet. Amen? And I hope they don't. I hope they don't. We know that the world we live in doesn't necessarily worship God, and we expect that. We see that. They unashamedly worship people. They worship money or possessions that it can buy. They worship football, baseball, basketball. Now we worship soccer teams. Amen. There are men who worship fishing. Amen. They worship NASCAR drivers, NHRA drag racers. You know, they worship politicians, and for the life of me, I don't understand why. Amen. Many, many people worship movie stars. Boy, they can tell you everything about a movie star. I can't even remember one from another, you know. And we'll see a movie star come on TV, and I say, Tabana, who's that? I don't know. But there are people who just study them and are consumed by their life. Countless others worship musicians or the music they produce. We worship people. However, when it comes to church and celebrating God, these same people can come to church and they sit silent and timid as they worship their great God. Are you following me?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay, this is a good thing to say amen. 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 Are we ashamed to openly worship the Creator of the universe? We can easily talk about anything else. Ball games, TV shows. But when it comes to Jesus, it just seems like our tongues get tied. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." Wow. I think he made that pretty plain for us, all right? I think he did. In our English language, words like excitement, enthusiasm, exhilaration, animation, thrill, they are words that are usually used to describe the latest sporting event or a music festival or movie, but seldom do they ever describe a church service. I find that hard. I find that difficult to grab hold of. We can say, why is that? What is it that inhibits us? What is it that keeps us from displaying our excitement in worship? And as a church that's trying to be outside the box of normalcy, amen, outside this box, I think we need to address these issues, and I hope you feel the same way. Amen? Let's go back to Acts 16 here, and we're going to start with verse 16 this time. Acts 16 and starting with verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. On any given Sunday, you don't know who may be set free as a result of your personal worship. There are people who come in here bound up by the afflictions in their life, and they need to hear some Paul and Silas worship. They need to know that you have something to celebrate and believe in, that you believe in what you're doing. They need to realize that deliverance is available here. Amen? Amen? Paul and Silas took their praise and worship outside the box. I think they completely understood the box. They were even tied or chained to their box, right? That's because their box was built to contain them. It was designed to keep them locked up and controlled, right? Our boxes do the same thing, folks, right? Amen? But their praise and worship took them outside their box. Hallelujah. Somebody just, you know, you can shout anytime you want. Please, please do. Give God glory all the time. I don't know what labels your box today, what's on the walls that contain you, or even how your box was crafted, but I want you to understand there's no need to keep your worship inside the box. There's no need. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. He can do some great things. We don't have to contain ourselves, not in this church. Not in this church. And don't forget this important truth. God loves your praise. He loves your praise. I'll say that again, because He loves to be worshiped. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits your praise. He lives right there. He's full of joy because you're giving Him praise. Glory. Now, let me share with you the reasons why Paul and Silas were delivered out of the Roman jail. Let me give you some reasons. Their God could not be restrained. Your God cannot be restrained. Their God was bigger than the situation. Your God is bigger than the situation. Their God was stronger than the enemy who sought to destroy them. And folks, get this. The scriptures tell us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This little Roman jail was not big enough or strong enough or fortified enough to hold God back. Amen? Amen? And once Paul and Silas got their praise on, God was coming. God was coming. Thank you, Jesus. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Thou art holy. Little bitty jail cell, great big God. Little bitty box, great big God. Amen. Little bitty situation, great big God. Great big God. Amen. And folks, please understand, your situation or trial or calamity or crisis is not nearly as big as the God we serve and worship. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul and Silas discovered that praise and worship was the key that opened the prison door where Satan had held them captive. It's the same with you and me. It's the very same with you and me. The enemy desires to keep us contained. He doesn't want you set free. He wants to set on you. And that could be in a box, it could be in a prison. But I'm here to say today that there is God's delivering power available to us, folks. Glory. Glory. Do you remember the story about David, how he brought the ark back into Jerusalem? Amen. How did he do it? Well, he did it with worship. He did it with worship. He did it with shouts of praise. He did it with dancing. Amen. David didn't care what the other people thought of him. He didn't even care what his relatives were thinking. David laid down his robes of royalty because they restricted him. And he went on praising and worshiping him, worshiping God. His God was bigger than other people's expectations of him. Amen. His God was much more worthy of demonstrative praise than what a few others thought of him. Glory. So David's praise went outside the box of normalcy. It was different. It was different. His worship left the confines of tradition and other people's expectations. At that time, the only thing that mattered to David was whether or not God was pleased with his worship. We need to get a hold of that. Even his wife could not contain the praise. She got mad at him. It embarrassed her. There lies one of the biggest box ingredients. Embarrassment. I want to tell you that a church which has outside the box worship is an exciting place to be. It's fun to attend there. It's more than a musical performance. It's where the Spirit of God can move and minister long before we get to the sermon or altar call. Amen. God can move. And it's a church where people walk away saying, wow, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Come on, folks. These are things that we should strive for. Years ago, a missionary to Russia said the people in the underground churches would have to sit on their hands so that they would not clap during the services. If they were caught worshiping God, they'd be taken out and shot. So they'd sit on their hands. They knew the presence of God was going to come in. It was going to take place. So the only way they could figure to contain their worship was to sit on their hands. Even though there was a threat of death over them, that wasn't enough. They had to physically sit on their hands. I wonder if anyone here today could decide that whatever the cost, I'm going to worship God. Whatever the cost. Amen. Whatever people think of me, my praise will not stay in a box. Even if people are going to talk about me when we leave here, I've come to worship the one who's removed my sins. Amen? Amen. Is there a David here this morning? Amen? Is there a David here this morning? Right. There's one right there. He claims it too. Hallelujah. Is there a Paul and Silas in the room? Amen. Come on. Come on. We worry too much about things. We worry too much about things. You know, joy spreads. Joy, it's contagious. It spreads. I've seen people get so happy that all of a sudden I'm happy. Right? You have too. Now, I believe that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords deserves a lot more praise than the latest Super Bowl winner or the latest, World Series winner or whatever. I just believe that. I think Jesus deserves our praise. Jesus deserves our worship. Amen. He deserves all the honor, and Jesus deserves all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was Jesus who went to Calvary for my sin and to pay for our sin, right? For that one reason alone, He deserves our worship and praise. Amen. If that was all, He deserves our worship and praise. But folks, He's there every day, all the time. He will help you find keys. Amen. He will give you blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I told this story to Elwine. I probably told some of you other ones, some of you folks, the same story. But one time I lost the checkbook to the church. We tore the house apart. We tore my truck apart. We couldn't find it. We tore the office at the church apart. Couldn't find the checkbook. Wow. What did I do? I go to the bank. I cancel all this. We prayed. All of a sudden, the thought, we prayed. Bonnie's going through some newspaper ads. Sitting in bed, she's reading these ads and clipping coupons. In the middle of these newspaper ads is my checkbook, and it's wet. The newspaper isn't wet. But the checkbook is. I don't know where I lost it, but God tucked it in those papers. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, that's just one little thing. Did I thank Him? Oh, praise God, I thanked Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. It's important. He's doing these things all the time. All the time. Wednesday night, we talked about if we could just have the curtain removed for a few minutes, we could see God's hand in so much. Brothers and sisters, Satan was out to kill you today. How many cars were that close to you today? God is forever taking care of us because we've said yes to Him. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves our thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, the Bible says. Amen. Give thanks for all things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, outside the box worship does not just happen in church. It's a daily encounter. It's a daily encounter that draws you into the presence of God and it captures God's attention. It's in our hearts when we wake up on Monday. It's the song on our lips as we go through each day. It's the prayer we pray as we drive to work or tend to our obligations. It's a gracious attitude toward others. It's our witness when we share the gospel. It's in our love for each other every day of the week. Amen? This is outside-the-box worship. And brothers and sisters, in spite of what the devil whispers in your ear, you do have the ability to worship your God. Amen? You were actually created to worship Him. I want to read Isaiah 61, verse 10 through 11. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God wants us to praise. God wants us to give Him praise. Amen. Now I want to go to the last part of my message, which may be longer than the first part. And I want us to go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Let's go to start with verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." All right, this is a bold statement that Jesus made here, and he promises to everyone who believes an experience like nothing they've ever seen or heard of before. Out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. The setting for this statement was a feast ending the Jewish festival of tabernacles. Many of the people had come there ready to eat. They were hungry. They had traveled from distances to attend this feast. Everyone was hungry. They were thirsty too. And the crowd was prepared to set and fill their hungry bellies with whatever the host had provided. They were ready to eat. Jesus, completely understanding the nature of this event, stands up and he shouts to the guests. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What a declaration. Rather strange to some. But for those who were able to comprehend such a promise, they understood that the Master was offering something much better, much more satisfying than this feast could provide. Now, the feast was extremely important. The feast was well prepared. The feast was very expensive. The feast was an ongoing tradition. The feast was what everyone anticipated. What could be greater than the feast? Here stands Jesus amidst this crowd proclaiming, "I've got something much better prepared for you. I've got something much better prepared for you." Jesus announced that there was something coming that no level of expertise or preparation or expense or tradition could ever be a substitute for. Nothing could match this. Something was coming that was ginormous, if you will. Huge. It was something with which no refreshing cup of water nor mere glass of wine could compete with it. Not even the same level. As a matter of fact, Jesus likened it to a river of living, eternal water. He said, "What I have to offer you will not just keep you alive and refreshed for a day or two, but," he said, "this living water will be alive inside of you and will flow out of you." He said, "There will be no holding this thing in. It will flow out of you whether you want it to or not. It will flow out of you when you want it to and when you're not expecting it to." Amen? He said, "It will be like a river. It'll be continuous." Continuous. Then in verse 39, Jesus tells us that he was referring not to water per se, but rather he was speaking of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit infilling of the believer. Now, folks, this is the key to the whole out-of-the-box thing. I don't know about you, but I'm after more than a social gathering on Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. However, I'm not a good enough speaker to captivate you with my words. I'm completely dependent on the Spirit of God. Amen. I believe every Sunday our church is prepared in a human sense. We aim for excellence in all that we do, right? Beyond that, on top of that, more important than that, what we should expect beyond the work and the preparedness is that God will show up. God will show up, amen? Because without His presence, without His touch, brothers and sisters, we're just another nice place to gather on Sunday morning. If we plan to just settle for a box church, then we probably don't need to talk about John 7, verse 38. But if we truly long to be a church outside the box, then we must depend upon Him. We must have His anointing to get us there. The key to becoming an outside-the-box church is right there in John chapter 7, verse 38. I want to read it again. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We must be willing, folks. Listen to me good. We must be willing to allow the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, if you prefer, to flow through us as individuals and as a corporate body. Understand that Turning Point Church will never become a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church until you and I, as part of this church, become Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. You with me?
Amen.
We have plenty of excuses, countless reasons why we should refrain from getting too carried away in church. Plenty of reasons. Some people simply want everyone to keep quiet. I think we lost that thing a long time ago. Others would say, just settle down. No need for anything out of the ordinary. Why? For heaven's sakes, why? Church is not a mortuary. Church is not a funeral home. Church is a place where the Holy Ghost is supposed to have free reign to change lives and touch the hurting. Amen?
Amen?
To minister to the hurting. There is no form here that we have to adhere to. There's no fashion show at our church. Right? We have no real program to follow. We should be ready to stop at any moment and allow God to work to minister to someone. Amen? And folks, we're not controlled by the clock.
Amen.
And please give me an amen here.
Amen.
Amen. Don't we want the Holy Spirit to lead us?
Yes.
Hallelujah, yes. Yes. Now, as far as I can tell from the Scriptures, there's only one requirement for us as a church and as individuals to get out of the box. That is to become Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
The bottle of water is not quenching your thirst when you're drinking the wrong water.
Amen. Folks, you gotta want it. You have to have a thirst for it. You have to desire it. And when we gather together, you can't be nonchalant about it. Can't be careless about it. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God that we should passionately receive and fully embrace. I'll make a confession. I wish I had never done this, but many times the Holy Spirit has moved on me and I've not done it. And I would dare say most all of us have had those same experiences. For whatever reason, we hold back. Because of that box thing. I appreciate all of you who work so hard at this church. I appreciate all our leaders. I appreciate the singers and the musicians. I appreciate our sound and video people. We can give kudos to our children's pastors for what they're doing. My gratitude never ends towards my fellow elder, our deacons, our church secretary. And thanks for everyone who does something during the week. Wow. But let me say this. If we don't have the touch of God and the moving of His Spirit upon all that we do, we're missing out on something very extraordinary. Amen. There will always be amazing opportunities around here if we let God do. Amen. If we let God do. Good idea. I believe God wants to meet us. I think Jesus always wants to touch and alter lives. The Holy Ghost, I believe He just wants to fill us and empower us for service. I think we need to be a church where real needs are met, where countless lives are transformed. I believe that with all my heart, folks. But we can't do that alone. That would just be an act. We need Jesus to do that. And I believe He can. We don't have the ability to transform anything, but Jesus can use us to transform anything. Amen. 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 Simply yield yourself to the Spirit and you will become Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. That's the key. I don't think, as people, I don't think we want the mundane or the normal. I think we, in every area of life, we want it to be special. I think we need to be happy and joyful. I think we miss out on a lot of God's blessings because we take things so seriously. And hold back. Hold back. Let the limits of the box constrain us. Let's read this again. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. He's given today, isn't he? Huh? As soon as Jesus broke that heaven, he came, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Over the past 5 weeks, I've described an outside-the-box church. Do we want it?
Yes.
This is the day and time, and I believe we need it. I believe with all my heart we need it. Do we believe the words that Jesus said here?
Yes.
That out of our innermost beings, living water can flow? Wow.
That's what the hole in our belly button is for.
Well, with that, I want you to give God praise. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.